I like the hymn that we just sang. I like the melody. I like the message. But at the same time, I don't like the hymn that we just sang because it is a difficult message for us to hear. Its message is clear and powerful and biblical. We must choose Jesus and reject this world. We cannot have it both ways. This is not a both and decision. It's an either or decision. Either we love Jesus and reject the world, or we reject Jesus and love the world. This is one of the most radical messages that Jesus ever gave us. Look with me at our gospel text this morning. This sermon by Jesus is also shared by Matthew in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. In these sermons, Jesus takes the accepted standards of the world and turns them upside down. We have forgotten, I think, how revolutionary these teachings are. When Jesus was preaching this sermon, it would have been like flashes of lightning striking the minds of the people who heard it. Lightning followed by thunder of surprise and amazement. First, Jesus preaches about wealth. Wealth in biblical days was seen as a great blessing, a reward given by God for living a good life. Poverty was a sign that God was punishing you for some sin. So wealth would have been good, poverty would have been bad, and then Jesus turns it upside down. In God's kingdom, it's the poor who will be blessed. God will have special compassion on the poor. It's the poor who will enter the kingdom of God. Why? I think because the poor realize how much they need God. They will cry out to God for help, and God will help them. And the rich? Jesus is telling the rich, if you set your heart on obtaining the wealth of this world, you will probably achieve it. But that is all you will ever get. You will have the wealth of this world, but miss out on the wealth of God in paradise, which is far, far greater. This is a hard teaching for us here in America because we are the rich. Even those of us who are struggling financially, we are the rich compared to the rest of the world. We must make sure that we love Jesus and not money. We must reject the wealth that we see all around us that tempts us continually to chase it and acquire it. And if we do have wealth, we must do that radical thing of giving it away back to God and to the needs of others. Then Jesus preaches about hunger. It's common knowledge that hunger is bad and being well fed is good. We'd love to be well fed and satisfied. We would hate to be hungry all the time. And then Jesus turns those values upside down. In God's kingdom, It is the hungry who will be satisfied. God wants to feed them in this life, and certainly in the next life, the life that is yet to come, they will be well fed. That is God's promise. Again, I think it is the hungry who know how much they need God's help. They know that they need the love and the help of God every day. Give us this day, please, our daily bread. And I think they also realize that it's more than bread that they need. They need the bread of heaven, the bread that only Jesus can supply. And the well-fed, they are satisfied. They don't need God. At least they think they don't. And again, Jesus says, if you are well-fed in this world, that's all you will get. In the life that is yet to come, you will be hungry. Then Jesus preaches about happiness. I think we'd all agree that it's better to be happy than to be sad. Happiness is good, sorrow is bad. And Jesus turns the wheel upside down. In God's kingdom, those who weep will now laugh. God will turn their sorrow into joy. If you've ever been around people living in developing countries and seen the suffering, the abject poverty in which they live, you'll notice very quickly that they are not all filled with sorrow. Many, if not most of them, have come to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And they are filled with joy. In the midst of their poverty and sickness, sorrow, they are filled with the joy of the Lord. Again, when we are filled with suffering and sorrow, we turn to the Lord for help, for comfort, for blessing. And we know that God will someday turn our suffering into joy and laughter. I think it's important that we experience sorrow for the sin in our lives. It is God's motivation to turn from that sin and experience His comfort. I think it's important to allow our hearts to be broken by the pain of other people, to allow their suffering to become our suffering. And again, we are comforted by our Lord. I love Philip Yancey's discussion of the servants of this world. He said he's known so many servants. Philip Yancey is a pretty well-known Christian author. He's known lots of servants in his day. And he was surprised by the joy that he saw in their lives. Even though they were living without much money, serving in refugee camps, or he noted Dr. Paul Brandt, who worked for years and years in leper colonies. Even though they had given up money and maybe fame, living in difficult situations, their lives had meaning and purpose. And they were filled with the joy of the Lord. And he also got to know through his journalism many people who were stars, who movie stars, sports stars, and he came to realize very quickly that these people that everybody admired and wanted to be like, they were pretty miserable people. Going through divorces, dealing with insecurity, dealing with addictions, dealing with low self-esteem, all kinds of problems. So when he looked at the stars and the servants, it was the servants who stood out as those who knew the joy of the Lord and living a full and abundant life. So Jesus is telling us that if we are happy in this world, if we're chasing that elusive happiness, we may find it, at least for a time, but we will end up weeping in the life that is yet to come. Finally, Jesus preaches about popularity. We can all agree, I think, that it's better to be popular, well-liked, and admired than to be disliked, insulted, or vilified. So popular is good, being disliked and vilified is bad. And again, Jesus turns those values upside down. So, is this sermon good news for us or bad news? Where are we in all of this? Does it make us squirm a bit? Does it make us question our lifestyle? Do we hear this as judgment or a warning from our Lord that we must change our ways? Now, Jesus certainly gives good news to the poor and the hungry and the sorrowful and the persecuted of this world. God's blessings are real for them. And it gives them hope and the promise of eternal blessings in the life that is yet to come. But what about those of us who are pretty well off financially, who are well fed, who are pretty happy, or well liked by others? Is there warning and judgment in Jesus' words to us? We need to take these words very, very seriously. And if they come to us as warnings, we must confess our sins and repent from them and change our ways. We also need to realize that God's judgment is always meant to be redemptive. We still have time to change. We still have time to take a good hard look at our lives and determine with the leading of the Holy Spirit where and how we need to change. The theologian Karl Barth said that many times we discover the grace of God is also the judgment of God. God's graciousness to us often judges our ingratitude or our gracelessness. At the same time, said Bart, the judgments of God, because they are true, because they are made by the God of love and pronounced for our good, they can also be the grace of God. So whether we hear this sermon as blessing or warning, remember that God is leading us into the truth. And in His grace, He wants us to become true disciples of Jesus Christ and enter the kingdom of God. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, sometimes Your teachings are so hard. They demand severe changes in the way we think, what we value, and how we live. Please help us, Lord, to accept these teachings as true, and then to apply these teachings with Your help, the power of the Holy Spirit, to apply these teachings to our lives. We want more than anything else to love You and serve You and enter Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.